God is good. And all the time. So let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, that I get this opportunity to speak your word, Lord. And I just pray that everything that comes out and is said today, that is of you. And I just pray that not only this message is only heard one ear and throughout the other. And once they walk out that door, Lord God, I pray that they take something from it and apply it to their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to ask Pastor and Betty to step forward, the board members to step forward, worship team to step forward, just in front, firehouse leaders to step forward, Sunday school teachers and helpers to step forward, drama truth to step forward, ladies Bible study, the prayer meetings to step forward, whoever's leading that. I would like whoever is leading the men's breakfast to step forward and the drop-in center. And if I forgot anything that you're leading something, may you please step forward. Yeah, men's ministries, men's Bible study. So I asked you guys to step forward because I just want us to lay hands upon you guys and pray upon you. What I'm going to be talking about is how through Philippians, how we should be living our lives, the importance of how we should act and love upon one another, and the things we should be aware of and that we should stay away from to make sure that we're always doing our mission for God and have always God in our eyesight and our plan, and to make sure that we're not doing anything of the flesh. So if any of you guys would like to step forward and lay hands upon these wonderful and amazing people as we pray, you may step forward to lay hands.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, man. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, and I want to praise you for each and every single person, Lord God, who has done your calling and stepped forward to do something for your glory, Lord God. As we do go into things and hoping with our intent of doing to you sometimes, Lord, and I just pray that right now as things are closing for the summer, I just pray that it ends on a good note and for your glory, Lord God, and as it starts back, Lord, I just pray that it just starts back on a good foot, and as it is for you, God, I pray that their intent is still for you, Lord, and everything they do is to glorify you, Lord God, and that it is always from you, Lord, and even if they started off to glorify you and all of a sudden they stumbled and fallen into the flesh, Lord, I just pray against it, and I pray that you convict these people, whoever has fallen, and if not, amen. Thank you, Jesus, and I just pray, Lord, that if any of them all of a sudden turn away and stop seeing your vision and what you do to glorify you, Lord God, that they see it and that today this message touches their hearts, Lord, and that they leave realizing that it should always be for you, God. That the only reason that they're doing this, Lord, is not for their own personal merit, for their pride or anything like that, Lord. And I just pray that what they are doing, Lord God, is all for you as it is, should be. Thank you, God, for each and every single individual, Lord God. And I pray that you continue being in their lives, Lord, and that they continue doing and following you, Lord, and doing your will. And that they just be filled with you, Lord, and that you continue encouraging them as Satan might try to attack and make them not want to continue or doing something wrong, Lord God. And I just rebuke that because every single person in this room is protected by the blood of the Lamb, Lord. The blood of Jesus, God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God.
So with Firehouse, we've been going through the book of Philippians, all four chapters. And So we were going through it, and God just has been moving so much in Firehouse, and things have been broken, and it's just absolutely amazing. And I just was praying, seeing what God wanted and put on my heart to speak about. And I guess we're going through Philippians. For Philippians, for me, I love this chapter so much because it shows how we should live our lives and what we should be aware of. In chapter 1, it starts off with thanking God in prayer and always starting a prayer of joyfulness. And then it goes on to how we should live like Christ. Chapter 2 goes on how we should be there for one another, putting others in front of ourselves. Chapter 3 is a warning against being of the flesh and how we should always have our intent to be with God. Number 4, chapter 4, talks about giving everything to God, and that his peace can transcend all over us. So I'm going to briefly go through chapter 1 and briefly go through chapter 2, but my main concentration today will be mostly chapter 3. So we'll start off in Philippians 1, verse 1. Because as this chapter talks about being thankful and having thankfulness, I think we should just go through that and thank God that we have everything and that he's there for us. Verse 1. I thank my God upon every resemblance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you. Sorry, verse 5. Now we're on verse 5. For every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in everything that he who has begun a good work in you with complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 talks about always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Joy is such an amazing thing. And we should start our prayers off with joy and thanking God for everything that we have. Because we are so extremely blessed, not from materialistic things, not anything like that, but we're so extremely blessed that we get to have a personal relationship with him. Then we'll move off to Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the love, the same love, being one account of one mind. Let nothing be done out of selfishness, ambitions, or consent, but in the loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So instead of following the party spirit or promoting of self and being selfish and doing things out of the flesh and doing things for self and not having the vision and to glorify God, but I'm gonna speak in front and then everybody's gonna be so proud of me. And no, that's not how it should be. But being a Christian is putting others in front of ourselves. which putting others in front of ourselves is another way of being super humble. I can think of somebody who is so humble who put himself on a cross before others. And we are called to live as Christ and to be more like him. So anytime we start seeing that pride starts setting in, or anytime we do anything that we feel selfish, I'm going to help this person and feel good about myself. No, it's I'm going to help this person because they need Jesus, and I'm going to shine him. I'm going to do Firehouse. Not because I get to speak in front of people, but because I get to minister and shine Jesus to those teens. I don't feel like doing Firehouse this week. I'm so sorry. I've been working a lot. You're just going to have to deal with it. No, I'm going to do Firehouse this week. Just because I'm working a lot, that doesn't mean I'm not going to stop, because God called me to do it, so I will do it to minister to others and shine Jesus. We might start off that way. We might start off putting others in front of ourselves and doing things for God that we are called to, and all of a sudden we stumble. And selfishness and pride sets in. Human nature comes in. That's why we always should take a look at ourselves. In this situation, am I shining Jesus? In this situation, am I being humble? In this situation, am I doing this to glorify God or to glorify myself? Verse 5. Let this mind be you, which as also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but himself of no reputation, taking the form of bondservant and coming in likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and on those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God came down in the flesh to live and experience how we live, to die and give a sacrifice so that we might be set free. Now this is God on earth, and yet he washed other people's feet, and yet he put others in front of himself. And he, even though knowing people needed his help, took a step back and gave prayer and making himself sure that he is doing exactly what God has called him to do, even though he is God. So we should always take a step back, check ourselves, and make sure that even though we're knowing that Joe Blow over there needs my help, are you in the state and in the spot to be able to go there and help him and minister to him? Or are you still stuck in that pridefulness? Or are you still stuck in something that is not of God? Or that is not of the Word of God? We should always make sure that whatever we say, whatever we hear, gets backed up by the Word of God, because that is the Word of God. Because we're all human. We might accidentally fall into something that we shouldn't get involved in. that we don't know of and fall into the flesh. But we need to step into prayer and reground ourselves in God. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we, the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ and have not confided in the flesh. Now, if you actually look, verse 1 and 2 kind of seem like they don't relate with one another. But Paul encourages us to rejoice in the Lord because it helps us prepare us for what comes in verse 2. To beware that we should not get involved or influenced with false teachings that he's about to expose and condemn in verse 2. Now, if we look at verse 2, Paul mentioned beware 3 times. The first beware was, he called it dogs. And he labeled them to show the characteristics resembled as the wild packs of scavengers roaming the streets at the time, causing havoc wherever they went, in addition of attacking people. Now, if you actually look, it stated at the time. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that in this time, we still have people roaming the streets and causing havoc and attacking people because we are in such a broken world. The second beware, Paul called them evil workers, which implies they actively oppose the gospel of God's grace. They actively oppose to the gospel of God's grace. I rebuke that. The word of God is perfect. It is of God. We should never take it and try to manipulate it into something we want. We should never take it and say, oh, this pastor said this. I think I'm going to go with what he said, comparing to the word of God. The importance in making sure that we make reference back to the word of God, no matter who is in front of you talking to you about Christ. But I want you to learn something today is that even if it's me to walk out that door and go back into Philippians and read what we just read and what just talked about to make sure that what I am talking about is actually the word of God. It is not something I'm making up, for it is written, for it is actually the word of God. Can I get an amen? No matter who it is, no matter how high of a status they have or how low, we should always make a reference to the word of God, for that is perfect and not broken. The third beware, Paul designed it as the concision, as they said they were the circumcision. Paul said they were really only mutilated. In the other words, they were unscriptural and it was a wrong approach. As in, you guys know what circumcision is. So as in, instead of taking what the word of God said and do it rightly, they just slightly cut it off and not just take a shortcut and call themselves circumcised. Now in verse 3, Paul used the term of the circumcision, which is used in the New Testament for circumcision of the heart. And that's what he really means. He doesn't mean actual physical circumcision, but circumcision of the heart, making sure that You are following the Spirit of God. That you are worshiping Him, you rejoice in Him, and you have no confidence in the flesh. Now, those were the three bewares that were listed. Now, let's take a look at the three characteristics listed in verse 3, describing the people who are truly circumcised to the heart. Number one, they worship God in the Spirit. Number two, they rejoice or give glory in Christ Jesus, but not for personal attainment. They rejoice and give glory to God, not for personal attainment, not to make themselves look good, but because they really do truly in their hearts want to rejoice God and live for Him. The third they talked about was they do not trust in the flesh. Now, they don't actually necessarily mean the body. It means more of the human nature, how sometimes we act in a sinful way, or we act on our emotions. We can act on anger, frustration, sadness. And to always make sure that whenever we do all of a sudden feel super angry at this person, instead of acting out and hurting that person, you turn around and you take it to prayer and ask God to take away your anger. Because I could just go ahead and I'm like, I am so angry right now. I cannot believe my mom took my phone. Are you kidding me? I paid for that phone. Yeah, she pays $20 a month for it too, but I paid for it. I work for it. You know what? I'm going to disobey her and go grab my phone and rub it in her face and start screaming. Or do I turn around and I start praying, God, this is just absolutely silly. Why am I angry over a phone? I shouldn't be dependent on a phone. I should be dependent on you. I shouldn't be angry over a silly electronic or something that I have or don't have. If I have you, then why am I angry about it? Please take it away. So in those verses, it talks about what we should be aware of and beware of and make sure that we do not fall into that. And the second list is about how we should live our lives. I talked about making sure in reference into the Bible, so that can be, let's take the spiritual gifts, for example, as you're doing a series on it. Now, are we taking the nine spiritual gifts, which is actually biblical and actually written, are we going to manipulate that? Or try to change it into something that it's not? Or are we going to take the actual spiritual gifts that the Bible actually says and pray about it that God can give it to us, and then we might use it in the right way? And there was something that just, in college, we would make jokes, and one of my friends would go ahead and say, the Bible says this as a joke, and we turn around and say, don't add to the Bible. That is already perfect. You don't need to add anything. It is perfect. It is God's word. We should take it for what it is and apply it to our lives and live by it and not add or take away anything from it. Can I get an amen? And for my firehouse teens, hope you're listening, because you're going to get quizzed on this on Thursday. Just saying. Beware of the evil workers. In verse 2, as they actively oppose the gospel of God's grace. So he describes evil workers as who go ahead and just, oh, this is what God's grace says. This is what God says. No, no, thank you. I'm good. I'm going to do my own thing. The question is, how is that actually working for you? I don't know about you, but I've never felt the amount of love God has for me in any single person. And I've never seen the amount of grace that somebody can have on someone than God. Watching out for putting trust in the flesh. Now, that doesn't mean just yourself. Not watching out for putting confidence in your flesh, but putting confidence in the flesh of somebody who's talking to you. Putting confidence in the flesh of a pastor, putting confidence in the flesh of a leader from a youth group, putting confidence in somebody who's not a leader. But because sometimes we might not see it, whether or not if they are acting in the flesh, or whether or not we're acting in the flesh. We're acting in human nature if our intentions are true. Because sometimes pride could be so big that you start denying everything. No, that's not true. I am actually doing this for God. But your pride is so big that you can't see that it is pride doing it. That you're not acting in the word of God, that you're acting in the flesh, not to glorify God. So I strongly, strongly will say this again and over and over again, to take a look at the word of God as to what it says and take it for what it is. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't dismiss it. Don't say, oh, been there, read that. Let's go to the next. Because you would be just as amazed to see what God can reveal to you and how powerful the word of God is to make you realize, oh, you're being prideful right there. Oh, you're acting in the flesh right there. This, you're doing this, but this is not what the word of God says. The importance of looking back and seeing, is this really what God wants? Am I really doing this for God? But like, am I really, really? Or do I have the prideful shades on that I can't see? Or do I have idol sunglasses on that I can't see? I really like what this person said. This is absolutely amazing. But then don't take a look back as to what the word says. And starts believing it. And all of a sudden, you got those shades on and you can't see what it is. You can't see what you're doing. You can't see what other people are doing. Whenever you have those glasses on that you can't see and you start denying, then the little pride kicks in and defense right away. What are you talking about? No, I'm not being prideful right now. Are you? You're the one that's being prideful. Why are you accusing me of being prideful? Why are you getting angry to your brother and sister for asking a simple question to making sure that you're actually okay and that you're actually in check with God? Putting others in front of ourselves. Well, you could go ahead and listen to what others have to say that they see. Maybe this is not from God, but here's my approach. I'll pray about it for you. You could pray about it. Whether you agree with it or not, I'm still going to pray about it for you because you're not actually acting with the word of God. We're a family here. We're there for one another. And that means that when we see one another all of a sudden acting in the flesh and that they don't see it, that we ought to pray about it. Maybe it's just an off day or anything like that. We can talk about it with the pastor. We can talk about it with the individual. But always taking a look at what the word says and taking it to prayer. This is how I find my battles. On my knees praying and with my Bible open, this is how I find my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Is that how you fight your battles? Or do you have those shades on that are inhibiting you from doing that? That you can't see for what it is and what actually the Word of God says. Being open to what people are saying, but always taking it back to the Word of God. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and long-term brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Verse 2. In implore Anduria and implore Sintich. Wow, I really can't read today. To be of the same mind of the Lord, and urge you also, true companion, help these women who loaded with some in the Gospels in Clement, and also of the rest of my fellow workers. Those named are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, and the Lord is at hand. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the first couple of verses goes ahead and talks about taking care of the people who worked with him, the women who followed him, and all of these things. So putting others in front of ourselves. Then a couple of verses down, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, being thankful for what God has done for us. Letting your gentleness be known to all men, being humble. The Lord is at hand, so do not work into the flesh, but to glorify God. Be anxious about nothing. I'm sorry, what? You want me to be anxious about nothing? How is that even possible? I'm a big ball of anxiety and stress. How? Like, but it says it right here, but in everything, in prayer. Because anything you deal with, good or bad, you always take it to prayer. At Firehouse, always emphasize that we take everything to prayer. Small or big. Even if we might seem, it's okay to be like a little prideful about this right now. It's just this little thing, right? I don't need to take it to prayer. It's just this little thing. But it starts off as a little thing, and all of a sudden, it's 50 feet tall. Whoops. So we take everything to prayer, no matter how big or how small it is. Supplication with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for everything. So taking it to prayer, giving our anxiousness and anxieties to God, we don't just walk away. We're like, okay, I give it to God. It's all good. Woo! No. The example I used at Firehouse is I took the cross and I took a whole bunch of pillows. I had my brother act as the prideful dude who would go ahead and be like, here's my stress, here's my worries, and it's all good, we're cool, awesome. And then I was the one who went ahead and I took the pillows, which represented my worries, pridefulness, and anything I needed to give it to God. Without words, I walked up to the cross, and I made it seem like I was, before I put it down and gave it to him, I started thanking him that I get to have a God that I can give this to. And then as we were acting out the scene, I gave it to him, to the cross, to God, and I could have just walked away and be like, cool, it's all good. No. In the sketch, I went ahead and was praying and giving thanks to God that he took it. And that I put my trust in him that he will deal with it. That I put my trust in him that he will protect me. And I put my trust in him that he will show me, and with the word of God, that I can see if I have any type of shades on that I shouldn't be having. And then Joshua went up without speaking, took the pillows, walked up to the cross all like, yeah, I'm going to give this to God and it's all good. Dropped it at the cross like he didn't care, and walked away like, yeah, okay, out of anger. And he didn't actually truly give it to God, because he's just like, oh, here, take this. And then turn around and start thanking him that he died on the cross so that we could be set free. So that we can realize and have grace that we can act in God and not of flesh. That we can repent whenever we do. Now that's the God I serve. And I thank him and praise him for it. And let your requests be known to God. One of my profs once said something that was totally true. Sometimes when we pray, we go ahead without realizing and we're demanding God. God, take this away now. And he said, just take a look at this. You're a child of God. As a child, we don't go ahead and demand our parents to do something for us. As a child of God, we can go up and ask our Heavenly Father to do this of his will and not ours. Because it's not about us, it's about him. It's not about what we want, it's about what he wants. Now in your prayer, are you asking God and praising him that no matter what happens, you will still love him and rejoice him and serve him? Even when the going gets tough, even when it seems like he's not there, but in actually he was the one carrying you through it. When it seems like it's the absolute end of the world, like everything is going against you, are you going to turn to him in anger? Because whenever we go through things, sometimes Satan tries to attack and get us to go and keep attacking. So we could turn around, like the story of Job, to turn around and curse God and to resent him for it. Are you going to be the one that's going to turn around and hate him for it? And start complaining and all these things? Are you going to be the child of God who's going to turn around and say, God, I ask you if you could do this for me, but of your will and not mine? And that whatever happens, I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to love you. And I'm still going to serve you. No matter if one of the dogs that we are beware of, no matter if the evil workers. So what list do you follow? Do you follow the beware list? Do you live the beware list? Or do you follow God's list? Do you look to people and start following with beware eyes? That you start making sure, oh, I got to beware of them, so I got to take a step back and stay in God? Or are you going to walk around with shades and being like, oh, this isn't that bad. This person murdered somebody. If I lie about this thing, it's all good. That person did something worse. Why are you looking to other people? They're not involved in your walk with God. That's their walk with God. That's their life. Why are you comparing yourself to them? Because it's not about them. It's about your own walk. It's about who you are. It's about how deep of a relationship you want with God. It's about your walk with God. It's about what you let in into your life. And it's about what you decide to guard your heart with. It's about how you decide to act. Not about how the other person is acting and how you compare. This person's being fake. They're being fake in church right now. And they're acting of human nature and of flesh, but I'm not, but that's okay. Which is okay as long as you don't turn around and as long as it doesn't turn into pride. Because we could turn around and see, okay, this is how where I am in my walk. This is how the other person's am in their walk. It's about yours. It's about shining God. It's not about comparing, because we're all childs of God. But we should look out for one another. We should make sure that we always take back the look of the Word of God. Make sure that whatever we do it for the glory of God. I'm going to pray for this person. But I'm going to do it because they need prayer and because God wants them to be set free and come to Him. Not because I'm going to pray for this person because they're here in their faith and I'm here in my faith and they should do this. And I'm going to pray and all of a sudden pride kicks in, sunglasses on, everybody. No. Making sure that we're in check and that we are actually shining God and doing His will. Do we do that every day? We should. And if you don't, I strongly encourage you that whenever you walk out that door, you start making sure that you're grounded in God and that you're strong enough in Him to go out and do what Philippians 2 talks about is helping one another, putting others in front of ourselves. It's our walk. Like I said, we need to be careful what we allow into our lives. But we have a big, thick, giant book that says what we should watch out for and how we should live our lives. And that's the truth. Not what comes out of my mouth, but what is written in that book. So the importance of whatever somebody says about the Word of God to turn around later on and read it and see it for yourself. Because you might not know if all of a sudden you start reading it and God starts revealing things to you that you didn't know before. Circumstances have changed. Our lives change. We are a big family. Big, strong family of God. And we should always make sure that each and every one of us has God's greatest and utmost intent of giving everything for his glory and doing it for his glory. Because there's having intentions and not seeing that it actually isn't to glorify God, but it's actually doing it to glorify God. That we are to love one another, be there for one another, pray for one another, and not compare ourselves to other people's walks. Because it's their walk, and you have yours. You are to shine Christ and Jesus. But you also need to realize whenever it's your time to take a step back in God and trust in God that he has everything under control. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, God. Thank you for this amazing congregation, Lord, this amazing family, Lord God. I pray that they hear this message, Lord, and that it touched their hearts and that they leave today making sure that they go back to your word, Lord. That they make sure that they're in check with your word, Lord, and that they are not doing anything in the flesh, Lord God, and that they take everything to prayer, Lord. And I pray that each and every single one of us continue to loving one another, praying for one another, and being there for one another. And also pointing out and showing whenever we have shades when we don't realize it, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for this amazing opportunity to come forth and speak of your word, Lord, but I pray that whenever they leave, Lord God, that they take a chance and open their Bibles and read through Philippians. That they don't take my word for it, but they take your word for it, God. Amen.